Well, I'm very grateful for the privilege of taking part in your missions conference, Great Missionary Church. And the message that I'm going to deal with today is simply to reaffirm to you and cause you to consider just as well that your purpose for existence as a church is for the cause of missions. In relationship to the Eastern European project, we need very special prayer for the material. I'd set a goal of 10,000 Gospels of John, 5,000 New Testaments, and a supply of Bible correspondence courses. The Albanian language, Romanian, Hungarian, Czech, Polish, and Russian. The Lord has supplied all of that material for the Russian language, as well as the courses, with free shipping from Ohio to Riga, Latvia. And the only thing that I'll have to be responsible for is the shipping from Riga, Latvia by rail to that area of southern Russia. Some of the other languages, we've not been able to find any gospel portions or New Testaments at this time. Now, there are some possibilities in that, for example, the Mailbox Club are a series of Bible correspondence courses. In five of those languages, the negatives are being given to me with no strings attached. And there are several printers who've already committed themselves, but there will be a time problem. Also, I have found some Gospels of John with some very, very special notes. And those negatives have been offered as well. So we need very special prayer. We've had the privilege, apart from that which you've had a part in, giving that message to some 30 million readers in 10 other countries. And Brother Norman, we were not able to put the full message, but simply coupons in Turkey. And there were over 10,000 from Turkey who wrote to Marion right outside of San Antonio here. In fact, the most written to place in America was the little town of Marion, Texas out here, as 10,000 Turks, that closed country, a Muslim country with over 55 million people. At that time, there were only 150 believers. There are many more than that today. Amen. We'd like to think that that had a part. We're believing the Lord and would ask you to believe the Lord with us. In each of those countries that there might be at least 10,000 written responses. In each of those six countries. I want to ask you today to take your Bibles. How many Bibles do we have? I'd like to see those Bibles. Raise them up high. Praise the Lord. Then I trust you'll use your Bible today. Because we're going to go through the Bible and see a theme all through the Word of God. Beginning in the book of Genesis, chapter 12. We'll read verse 3. You're familiar with verses 1 and 2. As God called Abram to leave his country and his kindred, his house, go to a land that God was going to show. And then God made that promise that he'd make him a great nation, he'd bless him and make his name great. And he would be a blessing. But look in verse 3. He said, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. Then that last clause says, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now this, of course, spoke of the fact that through his bloodline, his descendants, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, was to come. But it doesn't stop there, friend. There's more implied as well. That because of his obedience to that call, all the families of the earth would be blessed through that message. You see, there were several reasons why that through this man, God began the process of preparing a chosen people. Those people were to proclaim the fact of one true Jehovah God to the entire world. Israel was not to become an end in herself. She was not to come to that place of separation in such a manner that she was of no earthly good. She was not to turn in upon herself, but she was to be that people that would stand true and proclaim that name throughout the entire earth. And four or five times, God reaffirmed that promise to Abram or Abraham. In Genesis 17, he was promised that he'd be the father of many nations. In Genesis 26 again, it was said that all the nations of the world would be blessed through him. And then in Genesis 28, almost the same thing is said as in this phrase, all the families of the earth would be blessed. You see, as God began the process to bring about a chosen people, his plan was that the nation of Israel was to be a nation of priests. Yes, he chose the Levites. They were to take care of the rituals and the rites, the religious rites. But it was God's plan that every member of this nation be a priest, an intercessor, one that interceded for the world, if you please, in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6. He said, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Now Israel did not become that, but that was the plan and the purpose of God, that every single member of that nation fulfill that purpose. And I want you to go through now with me, and I want you to see a number of ways that he speaks of people that he was going to use and things that he was going to use, that all the earth would hear that message of one true Jehovah God. In the book of Exodus, chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, he told Moses how he was even going to use Pharaoh. I mean, an ungodly king, stubborn, rebellious, how yet even this man was going to be used in Exodus 9, 15 and 16. For now I'll stretch out my hand, that I might smite thee and thy people with pestilence. Thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. All through the Word of God, you find all the world, continually, time after time. Look at, some things perhaps that you know about, but maybe you just need some reminder, some reminding. In Joshua chapter 4 and 24, the wilderness wanderings and journeying was over with. Moses was dead. Joshua was the new leader. They were about to cross the Jordan. God was about to do something again, like he'd done in the crossing of the Red Sea. And Joshua was instructed to put up a pile of stones by the side of the River Jordan. This was to be a reminder or a memorial to the children of Israel of all the things that God had done, but not just for them. In Joshua chapter 4 and verse 24, he says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. That pile of stones was to be a testimony of all that God had done for Israel. Now go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And you know the story of the encounter of David with the giant Goliath. But I wonder if you've ever noticed, if you've ever considered the declaration that that young lad made that day to the giant. 1 Samuel 17 in 46, David said, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I'll smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth." Why? So that this one that had been provoking, this Philistine that had been provoking Israel for so long, that might be put aside. They might have some rest, that the armies of Israel might have some rest now for a period of time from the Philistine armies. I think you'll notice that last part of this verse was the real reason, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. He said all the earth, not just Israel. You see, the message was not just limited to Israel. The meaning of the acts and the works of God was not limited just to Israel. David understood that, and he made that declaration here. Let's look at another passage in 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning in verse 41. Here, Solomon was dedicating the temple. God had given instruction on the building of the temple. You notice in these verses that provision was made for the non-Jew as well. There was a court that was built for the Gentiles. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ twice manifested very overt, very visible, open anger. You remember? Especially the ending of his ministry, just a few days before his crucifixion, when he went into the temple. You see, some greedy Jewish merchants had taken over that courtyard of the Gentiles and had set up their tables with their animals that they were selling, and the pigeons and the doves and their money changing. And the Lord Jesus turned those things over, those tables over, released the animals, and laid some whips on those men. And he said, "My Father's house shall be a house of prayer for many nations," or for all nations. God had made provision for the world, you see. There was a place made, not just for the Jew alone, but for the non-Jew to come and hear the reading of the Word of God. And those men had blocked that way. You see, they had put something there that did not allow the non-Jew to come. And here we find the provision in the beginning in that temple that Solomon had built. Verse 41, "Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house. Hear, thou in heaven, thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for." Notice again that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. That all people of the earth may know thy name. In the building of the temple, God made provision for all nations, all peoples, all of the earth to come as well. Now let's look at something else. Let's look in 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings 19 and 19. Here we find that an Assyrian king, Sennacherib, had prepared a tremendous army. This army had a great number of men, and they were well armed. They began to take the surrounding nations. They took nation after nation. One day he sent a letter to Hezekiah, a godly king, saying that that which remained of Israel would be next. Now, they didn't have that soldiers in that number that the Assyrian army had. They were not trained men. They didn't have the armaments or the weapons. But I want you to notice what this man did. He did the right thing. He went to the house of God. He laid that letter out before God, and he interceded for his nation. But look in 2 Kings 19 and 19, how he prayed and what the purpose, the motive behind it all was. He said, "Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand." Why? That life might continue as usual and normal in the nation, that they might have the freedom and the liberty to enjoy all the pleasures of life. Was that the purpose of freedom and liberty for them? No, you'll notice again the next part of that verse. Why? If God is ever to spare a nation, in the end, it must be for this reason as well. He says that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. The purpose for freedom and liberty is to proclaim the message of liberty in Jesus Christ. Without that, there's no reason. Now, look at in the book of Isaiah about some things that God said about the people of Israel. In fact, he called Israel his servant. There's a contrast between chapters 40 and chapters 50 of Isaiah. Somewhere between 12 and 15 times he uses the term servant. Part of that time he's talking about the servant of servants, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he calls Israel his servant as well. But with that word servant, you'll find in these verses he uses the word witness as well. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 10, speaking to Israel, he said, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I've chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Verse 12, same chapter 43. "I have declared and have saved, and I've showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." Remember, his purpose and plan was that this nation be a nation of priests, representing him, interceding, being that go-between for nations and individuals wherever they would be on the face of the globe. Now look, in Isaiah 44 and verse 8, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Hear even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." They were to be a witness. God chose a people. They were to be his people, his peculiar people. Why? To be an end in themselves? No. To proclaim that message of one true Jehovah God to the world, that they might preserve those scriptures, that message, but not only preserve it, but give it to the world. Well, there came that day. There were a number of reasons why that God set that nation aside. May I submit to you, among those reasons was the fact that they were not faithful to that commission and the purpose of God raising up that nation. If you go with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 11, we'll begin in verse 18. And you know, of course, in this passage, as he refers to the olive tree and he refers here to the trunk, he's referring to Israel. Romans 11, 18, "Boast not against the branches. If thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. You see, there came that day when God set aside the nation of Israel for a period of time. And God chose something else. We're living in what's known as the church age or the age of grace. And so God has chosen the church, His people, in this day to do that which Israel did not do. But there's a word of caution in this verse, this context, if you please, verse 19. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. But we, the Gentiles in this age, verse 20 says, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. But then notice this word, be not high-minded, but fear, verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, Israel, His chosen people, they were not spared. Then He says, take heed, lest He also spare not thee. You see, that which God uses today is His church. But if she forgets the very reason for her existence, if you begin one day to live just for yourselves and just for your fellowship, and you become an end in yourself, God will do for you what He did with Israel. You will be set aside. Verse 22 says, behold therefore the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. What He did for Israel, He'll do for any fellowship, any congregation, any assembly, any church today. And sad to say, in these days in which we're living, there are few congregations who truly understand why they exist. But you exist today to get that message of the Savior of the world out to the world. You might be surprised to know that your church is not here just for you. Your church does not exist this morning just to preach to you and pray for you and visit with you and sing to you and entertain you. Your church is here today so that you might be prepared. And as you go out these doors, you go as a missionary into the mission field of the world, wherever it is that God puts you. And if you become an end in yourself and you begin to think of the fact that your church exists just for you, and just to meet your needs and no one else. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, chapter 3. In Revelation, chapter 2, a message was given to seven different churches. And each of those messages ended in the same way. To every one of those seven churches, almost word for word, the warning, the exhortation is the same. Now you can go to these places today. They exist. At least the geographical area does. Ephesus is a city of ruins. What a city it must have been. I mean, you can walk down those ruins with the marble stones in the street and the columns that are still remaining and that old open air Colosseum that is mentioned. I believe it's in Acts 19, when Paul and the men that accompanied him were brought before them, a place that seats 25,000 people, where you can get down at the bottom there and speak in a very normal voice, and the acoustics are such that it carries throughout all over that place, would seat 25,000 people. But there's not a church there today. In fact, there are few New Testament churches today in the country of Turkey. Smyrna is now Izmir, Turkey. A city of 2 million people. Pergamos. I was on a bus one time from Izmir, old Smyrna, to Ankara, the capital city. I'm thinking of Sardis. I'm sorry. And just looked out and there was a little bitty roadside sign. It said Sardis. And I looked about and there were 15 or 20, adobe or brick huts. That's all that was left of Sardis. Not one of these seven churches exist today, yet God gave them a warning. In Revelation 2:7, to the church at Ephesus, He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To the church at Smyrna, verse 11, chapter 2. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. To the church at Pergamos, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. The church at Thyatira, verse 29, chapter 2. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Chapter 3, verse 6. To the church at Sardis. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Philadelphia, 3:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Church at Laodicea, chapter 3:22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Each one of those local congregations got a warning. They were told what would happen if they did not heed that special message that God had prepared for them. You want to see a summary of that? Look in Revelations 2:5. Revelations chapter 2, verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent, and do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of thy out of its place, except thou repent. He said it's the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, His presence in the midst of that group of people would be removed. Did you know it's possible to get things so organized that you can go through all of the outward appearances for 20 or 25 years after the candlestick has been removed? There are churches all across America today. The candlestick has been removed. The presence of the Spirit of God is no longer there because they've forgotten the very reason for their existence. All of that serves simply as a warning to us today as well. Maybe you wonder why missions conference time again. Why is it that missions, these mission families and their needs are continually placed before us? Maybe you get weary, but may I remind you this morning, if you detour, if you deviate, if you get off track, you have no reason to exist as a church any longer. And God will do what He did with others in the past. He did it with Israel, and He said in Romans chapter 11, He'd do the same thing today in this age of grace. He did it for these seven churches of Asia, and He'll do it again. May it be simply a reaffirmation today from the Word of God and reconfirming to you to stay on track. That there's a reason. And what a blessed privilege and honor it is to have a part that He would allow us, sinners by grace, sinners saved by grace, to co-labor together with Him in the harvest fields of the world. Well, maybe it seems a little strange to you why people would be so concerned and would sacrifice and give and would have a history that this group of people here has over the years, over 15 years of sending out, giving out much, much more than ever is used at home. Well, let me say to you this morning, you see, there is a universal need. The Bible is very clear. Time after time it states the fact that all have sinned. Romans chapter 5 says, for example, whereas by one man sin entered the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every person under the sun on planet Earth this morning is a sinner by inheritance, because he's a son of Adam. He's a sinner by nature, and he's a sinner by choice as well. There comes that day, that time of discernment, when all of us have chosen sin. So all are sinners. There's a universal need, but praise God today, there's a universal remedy for that need. That time, that verse that all know, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. The world He loved. He died for all. He paid the full price. You know, sin touched man. Man's a triune being with a soul and a spirit and a body. And every part of him has been touched and carries the curse of sin. But have you ever realized that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered in body, he suffered in spirit, and he suffered in soul? The curse touched everything. And the Lord Jesus Christ, all of that curse touched him as well. And then he suffered for all of that. That's the reason why one day, even the creation itself, there'll be a restoration. Because of that which Jesus did, he paid the price that satisfied a holy God in every sense of the word. And so, there's a universal remedy. Jesus Christ. Makes no difference who, where, what. Jesus is still the answer. Did you know he extends as well today a universal remedy? It began yonder in the garden. God has always taken the initiative. It's always been God that seeks out man as he sought out Adam and began to call for him. And all through the book you find Isaiah chapter 1, he says, come ye, let's reason together. Matthew chapter 12, come ye all ye that labor and heavy laden under that load. You see, man in the manner in which he was created by God was not designed to carry that load of sin. Friend, you can't do it. You've not been designed to stand or carry that load. It will tear you apart and destroy you in every part of your life. From the beginning to the very end of the Word of God. Just a few verses. Verse 17, Revelation 22. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that's athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There's a universal need. There's a universal remedy, and there's a universal invitation today. He calls all to come. May you never forget why God's established you here, this place. Lindell.